Our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, RDF issue 128, mandatory profiles, issue 129, a lossless conversion, and issue 130, which is figuring out how to properly reference the DOM future spec. We should also discuss the integration of JSON-LD into Gmail, Google Search, and Google Now. They just announced Google Search and Google Now yesterday or the day before. So overall, good things, very good things are happening with JSON-LD. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we move on? I am scribing today.
We should maybe see if we can put to bed David Booth's theme that keeps coming back.
Okay. I thought we kind of did. I thought he said that he'd be fine with those changes.
Yeah, I guess he was waiting for an official response, but he just sent an email out just this earlier today.
Okay. Okay, so let's put that as the first one up here, David. Let's see, what is, do you have a...
I'm trying to get the link right now.
Any other updates or changes to the agenda other than David Booth's issue? Greg, since you've read the email, would you mind?
So I think he's still not entirely satisfied that we have defined JSON-LD to be an RDF syntax. In particular, I recall that we had a resolution, I'm not sure where it is right now, to normatively reference RDF concepts. I think he was looking for doing something like that. And then he had a series of other suggestions in here, including mentioning RDF early on when we described linked data.
Been a bit difficult for me to understand exactly what David Booth wants.
There is a, in the quoted email further down, there is a specific suggestions list. Insert based on RDF into the definition of linked data. Define a normative bidirectional mapping of JSON profile to and from an RDF abstract syntax. I believe we've done that. So that the profile is a serialization of RDF and fully grounded in RDF data model and semantics. So I don't quite understand his concern there. Use skolnized IRIs from the normative mapping to prevent mapping JSON syntax to illegal RDF. And from my understanding of skolnized URIs, that doesn't really work because it's intended for a server to do rather than for an algorithm to do.
One second, Greg. Where are you reading all this stuff? I don't see it.
This is lower down in the quoted section of his email. There is a heading, Specific Suggestions. It is about halfway through the mail.
Okay. I see it. Okay. So we can use those bullet points to discuss on the call today. Okay. Then do we want to go ahead and discuss each one of those things?
Yeah, let's just go down the list and check off what we've already taken care of and figure out what we're going to do with the others.
And I believe also the top was the normative reference.
Okay, insert based on RDF to the definition of linked data as explained above. Based on RDF. So I'm
of course,
convinced.
That's at odds with all of the other discussions we've had. Maybe there's another way we can satisfy number one without deviating from all the other fixes we've had to deal with in that definition.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's going to cause us to go through another round trip with David Booth. Yeah, but I agree with Dave. It's I don't really know what that buys us, you know, to know that it's based on RDF if we have a normative reference in the spec to RDF concepts.
We do in the introduction.
We do.
Although the introduction is we have a normative reference from a non-normative section.
I think that still counts, doesn't it? I don't know. We'll have to ask him about number one, I guess, about exactly if we can give him a couple of options. One, we can say we normatively reference.
So I take that back. RDF concepts is an informative reference. It's not a normative reference. Rather, it shows up in the informative section. And that's in the syntax document.
I think that was on purpose. When you were saying that, I was in the back of my mind, I was thinking that we had not referenced RDF concepts normatively because it was going to get to rec after.
We discussed this, and because the working group had also complained that that Jason L. that basically we're all going through it once. All of the documents must have reasonable references to each other. That includes concepts. So Turtle has, we are in fact making use of RDF 1.1 concepts. So it's important that we have a reference to it, that the reference be normative, so that it basically indicates that we are, so you're part of this current RDF 1.1 process. And I thought we had actually agreed to do that in a previous telecon.
Well, that ties us to one. I don't agree with us having to do a normative reference to show that this is a part of the RDF 1.1 work. I don't think that really buys the spec anything. And two, I don't think that we actually agreed to do that, because if we agreed to do that, that means that JSON LD is now tied to RDF concepts, the RDF concepts time frame. It may be that time frame is perfectly fine, and JSON LD would go to rec at around the time that JSON LD, or that RDF concepts would go to rec around the time that we wanted JSON LD to go to rec. But I mean, is RDF concepts even in last call now?
I don't think it is.
Yeah. So,
and that would mean we would wait. We would wait until it had come to a equivalent purpose before we became a rec. I just recall some discussions in RDF working group, and as I recall, it was somewhat of a direction to do so. But we should get clarification on that.
Okay, so we're still on number one, and we need direction from the RDF working group. I feel that doing it. My general concern with David Booth's comments is that he is taking a very hard line stance with JSON LD having to fall in line with RDF, or quote-unquote having to fall in line with RDF. I think that a lot of his arguments they seem to be philosophical arguments rather than actual concrete technical issues that are raised with the spec text. So he is much more concerned about messaging in the spec than he seems to be concerned about technical issues. Like I'm reading down his list, and it doesn't seem like there are very many technical issues that he's raising. So I'm concerned that we are going to get stuck in the mud trying to make David Booth happy when the vast majority of what he wants are philosophical changes to the spec, not technical changes to the spec.
Well, I think what he noted at the top was that he did not see issue markers or issues in the issues database to track some of these issues. So for instance, use scholomizing blank nodes where they're used in places that are not legal for from RDF concepts.
Well, we already made the decision that we didn't. We don't. That's not. That's completely out of the outside of the scope, right? Of the spec.
No, I don't think so. This came up on the RDF working group call last week. There is an open issue that David Wood pointed out regarding the use of blank nodes as graphs. So there is an issue there which is being tracked and is not resolved. So the other place would be B nodes as properties. So those are things that I believe the RDF working group anyway considers are open issues that still have to be resolved.
I thought our discussion here was that those are things that the processors, that someone converting JSON-LD to RDF can deal with.
Yeah, I thought that too until David pointed out. Let me see if I can find the reference from the meeting notes. But there is an issue on that one.
Okay, so what do we want to do about this? Are we taking this back to the RDF working group, or?
I think what David wanted to point to was that there are issues that are being tracked that can be resolved that will satisfy. If there's a resolution on these things, and I gather he feels it needs to be a working group resolution. I think that that's enough to say that it does need to be a working group resolution. Then that's probably what's required.
Okay, so basically, there's not much we can do here. We've made our resolution. The RDF working group needs to either back in or come up with a different resolution.
Yeah. So I guess I would put on the agenda for tomorrow, perhaps, a reference to our resolutions and asking that those be confirmed. But I think things that are happening in LC need to be tracked on the working group issue tracker. Anything we have is probably on the GitHub issue tracker.
Right. It's just, yeah. Okay. So you're saying we should open two new issues or multiple new issues based on David Booth's feedback.
I think we should either look to see where they've been resolved and be able to reference that, or if they are issues, they need to be tracked.
I'm trying to figure out what the concrete thing that we're doing based on this is. Here's the problem. So David Booth has said a number of things. Right? David Booth has said a number of things in. We are trying to divine exactly what would make him happy. And some of those things that would make him happy are dependent on decisions that we have made in this group that have not been approved by the RDF working group. So it could be that we end up raising issues in the RDF working group tracker that upon resolution still don't address David Booth's concerns. You see the thing that I'm kind of concerned about?
Yeah.
Kuno, we're getting feedback from your mic. Could you mute, please? Kuno, I'm going to mute you. You can unmute yourself by doing unmute, Kuno. Okay, so I guess, do you see the concern I have, Greg? I have a feeling that we could end up spending 3 weeks talking about this stuff and David Booth's still not happy. So I think...
I guess it just means it needs to be resolved. And I think at this point, those types of issues need to be resolved by the working group, that we're not in a position to resolve them.
I guess what I'm saying is that even if the working group resolves those issues, I don't disagree with you on that, but I'm saying even if the working group resolves those issues, those still might not address David Booth's issues, and we have just spent, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 weeks working on something that didn't resolve anybody's issues. Does that make sense?
All right. Well, I pointed out the email. I think there are that we need to do something. At least it requires an official response. Figure out what you want to do then, because it seems to me our autonomy in dealing with these things is much more limited now that we're in last call, and that issues that come in need to be tracked by the working group and resolved by the working group.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just wondering what David Booth wants.
Well, he's not the first one to ask that we mention RDF earlier on in the document.
Right, but we've already resolved that we're not going to do that multiple times. We've already had that discussion multiple times. So I guess what I'm wondering is, why are we discussing it again?
Well, then that needs to be a response where we can point to the discussion in the resolution that says we're not going to do that, and ask if that satisfies his concern. If it does, I don't think it will, which would mean that he might use that as a basis for an objection,
mm-hmm.
and as well as many others may as well.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it gets in front of the director. So what we need is a paper trail that can be used in order to validate the decision that we've made.
Right. Does anybody feel that we should insert language to insert RDF specific language in the introduction?
As soon as we do that, we're going to have the exact same response coming from the other party that wanted us to remove that language to begin with. So it's just going to have to end up being a vote or something at the end of the day.
And I believe we already had that vote. So we need to point to that vote, I think.
Yeah. I think that's the response. There's the should the reference to RDF concepts be a normative reference or informative, and the impact on our being able to or tying ourselves to the timeline of RDF concepts. And I thought that we did get direction on that from the working group, but it certainly isn't reflected in the document.
Wait, say that again, Craig.
The issue of whether the RDF concepts reference is normative or informative, and as a consequence, tying Jason LD's timeline to that of RDF concepts. My understanding was that we had resolved to do that, or it had been resolved that we do that, but that's not reflected in the documents right now. So I think we need to either do research to show that we decided to not do that, or do it, or put it on the docket of the working group to provide some direction.
Right. Okay.
And then there's in terms of our use of BNodes. Which seemed like it was being resolved with regards to graphs anyway in the last one, although there's been substantial pushback since. Those are things that do need to be resolved before we transition out of last call.
Okay.
This is at-risk features for Jason LD on the working group wiki.
All right, so going back to David Booth's concerns, we're going to push back on the base on RDF definition in linked data because we've already had that discussion. We'll point to the discussion and see what he says. Number two, define a normative bidirectional mapping of a JSON profile to and from the RDF abstract syntax so that the JSON profile is a serialization of RDF and is fully grounded in the RDF data model and semantics.
So the only issue there, I think, is the ability to create things that aren't RDF because of the use of bnodes, more liberal use of bnodes, for which these are, I gather, at risk issues.
Well, I guess the other concern, I'm worried that David Booth wants more than what's in the spec right now. I don't know if he understands that we have a normative section in there that defines a mapping to RDF. And if he understands that that's there and he's still not happy with it, then I'm wondering what he wants.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it seems like it's not the mapping. We have a mapping. It is a normative mapping.
Mm-hmm.
It allows graphs which are not RDF to be created. And those are specifically at-risk features. So I think the issue there is, or the response is, we do have such a mapping. There are at-risk features that relate to that, and the working group needs to resolve those at-risk features. So that satisfies that part of it, and it leaves open, of course, the resolution of those at-risk features.
Okay. I think that's good enough for the response to him. So number three is use schemalized URIs in the normative mapping to prevent mapping JSON syntax to legal RDF.
My concern with that is that schemalized IDs are intended for a server to use when publishing documents so that it can recognize those URIs as bnodes within its system, not so that you can transport, that you can encode a bnode that can be used interoperably between two different systems, and that's sort of what this would require. So I don't see Scalm IDs as being appropriate for doing that without some work in RDF concepts to address that.
Yeah.
Not to mention they're just ugly as sin.
Yeah, I agree. Any disagreement on that response to David Booth? Okay. Next one is making editorial changes to avoid implying that JSON-LD is not RDF. For example, change convert to RDF to convert to turtle, or perhaps convert to RDF abstract syntax.
I think it's a reasonable, because if it's simply saying convert to RDF implies that it's not already RDF, which really is not intended to be the case. I think it is. I think convert to the RDF abstract syntax is perhaps maybe better.
Yeah, I agree. So convert to RDF abstract syntax, we'll change that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that, and that's easy to resolve the issue.
Okay. Okay, so that's that. The last one is define normative names for and clearly differentiate between the JSON-LD serialization of RDF and JSON-LD, such that JSON-LD is a JSON serialization of RDF with the additional constraints for linked data, such as URIs that use HTTP. Hold on, I'm confused about this. Let me just get this in IRC. Okay, there's a bunch of text that I dumped in IRC, which is what he seems to want. Let's see. I don't understand what he means by they do not necessarily have to be defined in two separate documents.
He was just, I remember he had made several suggestions that we create something called JSON RDF and JSON LD to have JSON LD be based on JSON RDF, or something along those lines. And he's just saying he wants those two things, but they don't have to be in two different documents. That's all he means.
Yeah, and I think the response to that is it just sounds like make work that doesn't actually accomplish anything substantial. And we're not in a position to discuss why the working group also has an RDF JSON document, although it is not intended to be spec track. It's a note. But that's a reasonable reason why we have used JSON-LD, and there's nothing wrong with using that for an RDF syntax. Otherwise, why isn't it RDF turtle? Just turtle.
Well, I think his main concern is that there are additional restraints on linked data that don't necessarily apply to RDF, except for all of those additional restrictions. I'm pretty sure we have a should in the document, like URI should be dereferenceable, et cetera. We note that they must be when we're talking about linked data. So we have a bunch of shoulds in there for the restrictions that I think he's taking issue with. I don't see why that doesn't cover his issue.
You mean the fact that we use should instead of must?
Well, he's saying things like in this number 5 that he's talking about linked data has additional constraints such as using the HTTP prefix or things like that that indicate that you can dereference URI and get more information to make it truly linked data, whereas RDF doesn't require that you be able to dereference your URIs. And he seems to be indicating that that causes some kind of rift between JSON-LD and what could be called JSON-RDF. But I don't think we need to define two entirely different, well, not entirely different, two different syntaxes, one based on the other with additional restraints. Instead, we can just say, if you're using linked data, you should be doing this, which is exactly what the spec says now. We don't anywhere say that you can't use a URN or some other prefix or some URI that's not dereferenceable in your data. The syntax doesn't disallow it. We make recommendations because it's intended to be for linked data.
I'm trying to understand. I don't disagree with that. I'm trying to understand what he actually means from this. I don't know what he means by JSON-RDF. So if he means, he could mean a number of different things with JSON-RDF. I thought from the discussion on the RDF working group mailing list that when he says JSON-RDF, he actually means the JSON-RDF triple base serialization. and that we could build JSON LD on top of that serialization in some way. But I don't know if that's actually what he means.
I think he was talking about the subset of JSON LD, which is strictly RDF, and views that as a building block.
Yeah, he's not saying that we have to invent something that just uses triples or looks like RDF JSON. He's just saying there should be some more basic serialization of RDF in JSON that JSON LD builds on top of that has additional restraints.
So we don't want to do that, though, right? Is that
it's make work. It doesn't accomplish anything technically.
But what we have done already accomplishes the same thing because we already say you should do this if you're using like data. That's what we already do. We don't prohibit people from using data that works with RDF that isn't linked data. We don't do that anywhere in the spec that I'm aware of.
Right.
And I think that's it's easier for people to consume and understand how to work with this than it is if there are two different formats. Then it starts becoming, well, which format am I supposed to use? And you might miss the nuance that the JSON LD format is always JSON RDF. It's the subset of it. And I think it would be more confusing to publish two different syntaxes than just say you should be using dereferenceable URIs since this is a syntax intended for linked data, but you don't have to.
Right.
I mean, I don't see what the problem is, at least from my perspective.
Okay. So then the position of the group is creating two different concepts of RDF and JSON would be confusing to beginners and maybe even intermediate and advanced users of JSON LD. And it does not actually accomplish, it doesn't accomplish anything but a philosophical goal, which is having a pure JSON RDF representation based on RDF concepts in JSON. Is that right?
I seem to recall that I'm not. I don't remember if it was David Booth or not that was worried about having to ask for different. Maybe it wasn't him. That having to ask for different for a specific kind of data. Having to say that there are specific restraints on the data that has been serialized. So his server would have to say, "I want JSON or I want linked JSON LD, but I want the data to have certain restraints on it." I'm trying to remember. Somebody had a complaint about having to say more than just what the serialization format was, but also have to make comment about what's in the data. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that this would solve that problem if JSON RDF is just a superset of whatever JSON LD is. Since he's talking about JSON LD being the more restrictive set, I don't understand how that. If you just wanted to get JSON RDF, currently that's the same thing as just getting JSON LD. If you don't care about dereferencing the URIs, then you still don't have to care about that. I don't understand how it solves anything other than of creating this philosophical dichotomy that he appears to want to have by assigning names to these things instead of giving suggestions for what the type of data should be.
Right. Okay.
There's a big problem with bifurcation as well. If you now point at something else, it means you might have some processors that only do part of it and not the other part. That would be just a big. It's sort of like if we had done that for RDFA 1.1 Lite, if there would just be 1.1 Lite processors that could claim conformance.
Well, yeah, and will we have to put out another MIME type and further complicate implementations of this stuff? I don't understand how this is a better solution to saying you should do this and not saying that you must, which is already what the spec does. I understand that that's a deviation from RDF concepts that doesn't say that you should do that, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay. All right. So I will take an action. Oh, wait. Six minor editorial changes. Secret agents. Oh, he's got two minor editorial changes, and I would assume that we're fine with...
Yeah, that looks fine.
Yeah, so he's basically saying, instead of saying since JSON-LD is 100% compatible with JSON, we should say JSON-LD is a restricted form of JSON.
I remember that line actually bothering me as well, because being 100% compatible with something makes it sound like it isn't JSON. He has the same complaint. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm concerned with saying it's a restricted form of JSON. It is, but it doesn't sound like... People don't tend to like to use restricted forms of things as a general rule. I'm wondering if instead of saying restricted, we can say JSON-LD is a subset of JSON, or JSON-LD is JSON, but with the capability of providing linked data, we can work.
Yeah, I think what we want to get across is the idea that. Any JSON can be interpreted as JSON-LD, but only some parts of it will be. Only the parts that you want to be interpreted as linked data will be interpreted as such. Because we don't want it to seem like, oh, you now have to alter your JSON in a very... You have to change the way you alter your JSON just to use it with JSON-LD, when it's more like mark up the things that you want to be considered linked data. You don't have to do anything else. So maybe we just need to change that entire sentence.
Yeah.
It's something like JSON-LD allows you to... we want to say that it allows you to indicate or mark parts of your JSON as linked data. Something like that.
Okay, so I'll get back to him, and the other one is just a spelling change fix. So I'll take an action to respond to David Booth. We should probably open an issue. I think we can open an issue for this now. I didn't open an issue before because it was very confusing exactly what he wanted, but now that we have a full list of things that... he had a full list of concerns that he had. I think we can put it into an issue and then respond to it. Okay. Anything else on this issue before we move on? Okay, first up is on the actual agenda is mandatory profiles. Let's see. It's issue 128. There's the link in IRC. And I believe that Marcus proposed some text, or Peter proposed some text, and Marcus Wordsmith did a bit, and there seems to be agreement on it. Do we believe that that text change is what Peter wants? So let me point to the spec text. So we had said the profile parameter may be used by clients to express their preferences in the content negotiation process. This is the change. If the profile parameter is base, if the profile parameter is given, the server should return a document that is structured based on the profiles in the list, which are recognized by the server. We were during the last telecon concerned that we were basically restating something that HTTP already states. Or we were restating it in a way that wasn't compatible with the HTTP spec. I think we needed to do some more reading on that to figure out if that was true. And we haven't, I don't think anyone's done that. So in order to resolve this issue, someone needs to take the action to go and read the bits of the HTTP spec that talk about what happens when what happens during content negotiation, basically.
I think that there was some posts about that, and Marcus's response was, in any case, we were using should language, which I think satisfies that. But as I recall, if you do the request, that is an advisory to the server to return that format, and the server, if it doesn't have it, might return a similar format. That's sort of the point of having hierarchical MIME types anyway.
Right. So does anyone feel that this text would be bad to add to the spec? I'm fine with the text as it is. I don't think it's a big deal.
I think it's fine, too.
I think it's fine.
Okay, so the proposal is adopt the... Sorry, did someone else want to say anything?
No, go ahead.
So the proposal is to adopt the following text. Well, let me put the text in here.
I think it needs a comma in there somewhere, but the text is probably fine.
Okay. The profile parameter may be used by clients to express their preferences during contact negotiation. There we go. Stan. Okay, and Stian, that is, I think that's good enough. At least it's good enough for me.
Yeah, I think it says you're allowed to use something else, you know, right? Basically, mm-hmm. In our case, knowing the JSON LD specification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think it really says anything about parameters. Like further parameters, like the profile. I think it's, you know, that specifically is talking about the MIME type. It's not talking about the MIME type's parameters. But I would imagine that the MIME types, the same thing applies to the MIME type's parameters. If the server, it's advisory to the server can make a completely different decision based on the phase of the moon and, you know, the sea level. It is up to the server. Go ahead.
It does in the second link I pasted give example of using text HTML in the accept header with various levels provided, and they use that to say it's more, have a higher precedence.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily imply that you will refuse giving something back just because you can't comply with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Kuno, you've been muted again just because we have heard a lot of road noise from your mic. Okay, so the proposal is to adopt the language for content negotiation where content negotiation above profile parameter is advisory to the server. Is that good enough, or do we want to reword it in a different way?
Well, I think the main thing that was actually changing here was that the server should be trying to meet the needs of the client, because we didn't say that before, right?
Right.
So probably the proposal should say that, because, before,
okay.
This proposal doesn't change anything.
Okay, so adopt the language for content negotiation above, where the server should try to meet the needs of the client.
Right.
I guess meet the MIME type.
Should try and comply with the requested MIME type and profile from the client.
Okay, so that.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay. Any other plus one, minus one, plus zeros? All right, resolved. Next up is RDF issue 129, lossless conversion. I don't think we're going to make progress on this today, and we might want to take the last 9 minutes to talk about the Gmail JSON-LD implementation concerns.
Yeah, I agree.
Doing that?
I agree,
yeah,
but
I agree.
I think we should specifically ask Sandra to come back, because Marcus doesn't seem to agree with the direction that we felt comfortable with from last week. So I'd rather have a conversation where we can resolve that.
Yeah, and I have to admit that a lot of the arguments that Marcus was making made a lot of sense to me. So I'm backtracking on feeling comfortable about the changes that we wanted to make, mainly because it seems to have a whole bunch of side effects that I don't think, at least I was not aware of when I said that it would be a good change to make. Okay, so we'll talk about that next week when Marcus is back.
Let's see if we can reach out to Sandra to come back on the call too.
Yep, agreed. Okay, so Gmail JSON-LD implementation concerns. Google added support for JSON-LD in Gmail during Google I/O 2013, and they also added support for JSON-LD in the main Google search and Google Now. So this is a big deal, right? This is a huge, huge implementation of JSON-LD. So yay, great work, everybody. This is I think validates all the really hard work that everyone has been doing in this group, and it's just it's really great. So here's the announcement. There's some concerns, implementation concerns. Hold on one second. I'm trying to get both links here. Okay, so they're both of them there.
The main concern is the reluctance for them to use absolute IRIs when using the vocab. So, and my guess is that if it's found, in spite of advice, that people do that, then implementations will probably special case schema.org anyway. Unfortunate, but it's real world data.
Did we get any feedback from them that they really felt the need to do that? Okay.
No, they're discussing. They're discussing it. That's all we know right now. Dan Brickley, we're hoping to get Dan Brickley from Google on the call next week to discuss this in a little more depth. The primary thing that they said was that they were trying to make it really easy for their partners to integrate it. But I don't see how not adding http://really makes it that much easier. So we're going
As we know, even from Google's examples for schema.org, that it's often difficult for them to be consistent in marking things up. So my guess is that they're used to having a lot of heuristics in there to try to make sense out of data they're provided anyway. So this is sort of in keeping with that. And if you go into a web browser, you type schema.org, clearly the http://// is implied. So that's probably the source of some of their thinking on that. And in general, keeping things simpler for developers yields better results. However, in this case, it has the unfortunate side effect of making it look like a relative URI, and then with regards to email, relative to what? So,
do we also know if they had any intention of making a context available if you fetch the root URL?
Yeah, we did. I talked about that with them a bit, and they said that all things in time, which is a bit frustrating because this is kind of one of the major things JSON-LD is having that context. I think they intend to do it, but if Google's if their track record is their track record has been they say that they're going to end up doing things like that, and they may not get to it for another year or year and a half. So that's problematic for developers because now we have to figure out some way to get a context to developers so that they can actually use JSON-LD processors to work with this data.
Yeah, I can see what will end up happening is processors will take the string schema.org and convert it into a context that has @vocab. HTTP schema.org on it. That's probably what would end up happening.
Yeah, but of course that's not enough because you're going to want to also communicate things that have an ID type or things like that. Similar to, I think we did similar things for the RDFA profile, which certainly I built into my RDFA processor the vocabulary specification that allows for some reasonable interpretation of that. I think we would end up doing the same thing for JSON-LD.
Well, I recommend that we keep bugging them every once in a while to try and get them to make the changes so that we don't have to special case this.
I think we need to get Dan Bree to fight those fights.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been somewhat hesitant to fight those fights inside of Google. I mean, some of them he is, some of them he isn't. It's hard to have any kind of visibility into what Google's thinking on this is because they just don't. They're not very communicative with standards groups. At least they have not been very communicative with the RDFA work, and they haven't been communicative at all with the JSON-LD work until we saw this kind of come out of left field. So I know who the people on the team are. I'm trying to have a discussion with them. They are saying that they're having internal discussions about this and will get back to us with answers, but there's no idea on the timeline or if they're going to engage us publicly on it or anything of that nature. So I think the only thing that we can really do is just keep asking them and make it clear to them what the concerns are. If they don't specify a context or provide a context document out there, or you know, they just start using text strings in the context field, there are concerns with all those things. So hopefully Dane Bree will be on the call tomorrow, next week, and we can have this discussion with him out in the open.
But I think from my perspective, the fact that Google is adopting this so broadly, and I think you can look forward to a time when it's pretty much universally used, because it does make sense, alleviates a lot of the concerns we had about turning developers off from JSON-LD being too much like RDF, because its adoption there, I think, is provides enough reason for developers to be interested in it.
Yeah. One of the downsides is that they paired it up with microdata, so it's JSON-LD and microdata and not JSON-LD and RDFA Lite. So I've asked them why they made that decision as well. But I'm sure we'll get the same...
Well, as a consequence, then perhaps we could at least get the microdata spec to not use their own form of JSON, which is crippled, and instead use JSON-LD. So at least that would provide another means of going back and forth.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but they're considering removing the microdata spec from HTML5 at W3C because there's no editor that wants to edit the spec. So they removed the microdata code from the Chromium channel. It wasn't active, but they are looking at it as cruft, and they're removing microdata from Chromium as well.
Yeah, well, that is great. Certainly, a lot of Dan Bree's comments anyway really emphasize RDFA much more. So maybe we're seeing a slow migration away.
Maybe. It makes it difficult. The other thing that happened just 2 days ago was Pinterest added support for RDFA via OpenGraph, microdata, microformats, and OEmbed. So rather than picking one, they just did everything. So Pinterest Net will now pick up semantic information from your web pages in any semantic expression format there is, which is both good and horrible. Okay, we're out of time for today. Anything else before we end the call? All right.
Do we have some specific actions we want to try to do on the RDF call tomorrow? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be there. Yes, there are. I'm concerned about raising these sorts of discussions in the RDF working group because they could really slow us down, but I do agree with your point, Greg, that they need to be resolved in that group. So we need final resolution on these BNode issues, whether or not JSON-LD can continue to do that stuff so that we can remove the issue markers. Basically, if there is an issue marker in the JSON-LD syntax or API spec, we need the RDF working group to resolve it once and for all. Do you think that's a clear direction?
It needs to be resolved before we can transition out of last call, I guess. So it's not necessarily an agenda item for tomorrow, but it is a work item that needs to be completed before we can transition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you mind, Greg, opening an issue for each one of the issue markers in the spec right now and then trying to push that through the RDF working group?
Sure.
Or at least let them know that that's we need final resolution on that from them.
Right.
Great, thanks. Okay, anything else before we go? All right, thanks everyone for the call, and we will chat again next week.
All right.
Great week, everyone. All right.
Bye.
Bye.